The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
I am William Harris, aka William Is Bill. Hello and welcome to the All Rookie Podcast. Today is July 12th, 2021, and I hope you all are having a wonderful day. I'm so excited today to introduce you all to my mock draft 2.0. I'm only on 2.0 right now. You know, some experts like Chad Ford on their mock draft 6.0 already. But come on now, that's not necessary. Since my mock draft 1.0, some things have changed. Some players have elevated up. Some have dropped lower in the draft. So it's time for 2.0, I believe. A lot of work and effort and time went into making this perfect for you guys. So I hope you enjoy it. You know, no mock will ever be perfect, but I tried, okay? So let's get straight to it like it's nothing to it. For the first pick in the NBA draft 2021, obviously that still goes to the Detroit Pistons. It's a clear-cut consensus number one pick as of now. You know, no medicals have came out, anything crazy about Cade Cunningham. So it's only right that he remains at that number one spot. He is pretty much 99% guaranteed to go number one. Although I love Jalen Suggs. And I would like to move him into that number one spot. I just don't see it happening. But I could easily see Jalen Suggs having a better career than Cade Cunningham because that's how confident I am at Jalen Suggs. A lot of people love Evan Mobley, too, and they think he could have a potential Hall of Fame career as well. So, you know, just because someone is number one in the consensus doesn't mean they're going to be the best player in this draft. You never know where that could come from. You know, like last year, Anthony Edwards was number one. James Wiseman was number two. LaMelo Ball was number three. LaMelo Ball was the rookie of the year. It's rare that the number one player in the draft is the best player in the draft, especially these last 10 years or so. But I believe Cade Cunningham will be great. I see him as a Jason Tatum-like player. He just handles the ball like a point guard in college. I don't know if he will do that as much as in the NBA. But the Detroit Pistons have a lot of young talent, and they will have a lot of time to work out the kinks, see what works best for the team, and, you know, develop the talent. So Detroit will be a fun young team with Cade Cunningham out of Oklahoma State. You know, he averaged 20 points a game in college, had all the accolades anyone could want, first-team All-American, Big 12 Player of the Year, Big 12 Freshman of the Year, you know, most points in Oklahoma State history, have a 7-foot wingspan. I mean, it's just everything is pretty much great about this guy. His negatives to me are he doesn't finish at the rim in traffic great, and he's not the fastest or quickest player. But, you know, Luka Doncic is not either, and he works fine in this league. So other than his speed, he has to make sure his way of play will translate to the league, but I'm sure he will be fine. Especially in Detroit, because they will have plenty of time to work with them. Up next on the clock, the Houston Rockets have the number two pick. And like I mentioned, Jalen Suggs, to me, he's still the second best player in this draft. 6'4 guard out of Gonzaga. Just has an incredible court vision. Clutch player, great finisher at the rim. Battles with the bigs under the basket. Has great handles. Hits step back threes like it's nothing. Even catches alley-oops as a point guard. Incredible passer. A lot of guys you watch tape on, you say, okay, here's a highlight, no big deal. But when you watch Jalen Suggs, he pops on screen. You definitely see a star out there on the court. And, you know, he reminds me, I see a little Damian Lillard in his game, a little Brandon Roy. Google Brandon Roy if you don't know. he was a great player before the injuries. But Jalen Suggs is destined to be a star in my eyes. It's crazy to me that people think that, you know, that's a reach for him to go number two. They have him going 4, 5, 6. In my opinion, it's easily the number two player in this draft. Up next, the Cleveland Cavaliers, if they keep this pick. There's been a lot of talk about them possibly moving it, whether up or down. We will see. But I have them taking Jalen Green I think he is the best fit for their team, even though he is 6'5", 172 pounds, and will play a similar position as Colin Sexton. If you think he is better than Colin Sexton and you don't want to pay Colin Sexton, you draft Jalen Green and you trade Colin Sexton and bring in another asset that way. You don't want to force anything by position when you're one of the worst teams in the league. So if you believe in Jalen Green, you got to go for him. You know, he's averaged 18 points, 4 boards, 3 assists. Very athletic, has a quick first step. Loves putting his head down, just going straight to work, straight to the rack. He doesn't settle for jump shots, which is great. You know, a lot of guys, especially in these days, they just love shooting a three, shooting from long range. He attacks the lane in the rim, has good court vision, and finds the open man. And he's a really good three-point shooter and jump shooter. So he's well worth a top four pick. That's where he's destined to go, and I have him going third to Cleveland. Up next with the fourth pick, I have the Toronto Raptors taking Evan Mobley. Not only is he the best player on the board, he is the best fit on the board for Toronto as well. So it's a perfect match for Toronto. If Evan Mobley falls to them at number four, 7 foot big man out of USC, average 16 and 9 per game and 3 blocks per game. That's key. I mean, that's has the scouts salivating. So, you know, they're going to love that in Toronto and they need that. You know, they have Chris Boucher as a big man, but you know, he is like 29 years old and still raw. Then the coach clearly didn't, Nick Nurse didn't really want to play him that much this year, even though he is a stat monster. So clearly they're looking to upgrade in that center, power forward position, and Evan Mobley a great fit. And being that it's the Toronto Raptors, to me, he reminds me of a little bit of Chris Bosh. So, I mean, that's a perfect fit right there, you know, and hopefully he can continue to develop because he's still a little raw, but I think he can develop into a 2010 guy, very aggressive at the rim. He just needs to gain weight. You know, you won't dominate in the NBA at the weight he's at right now, 215 at 7 foot tall, but he runs the floor well, and I think he'll be a perfect fit for the Raptors if they can be patient in developing him. Up next with the fifth pick in the draft is Scottie Barnes. is the Orlando Magic, and I have them selecting Scottie Barnes. This is the first change in my mock draft. In my mock draft 1.0, I had the Magic taking Moses Moody. And Scottie Barnes has just been getting a ton of buzz lately. 6'9", small forward, power forward, point guard, all the above from Florida State. You know, he was a huge riser from the combine. They love his wingspan, around 7 feet. But, you know, in college statistically, he only averaged 10 points, 4 boards, 4 assists, 1.5 blocks are good. But you want to see more production from a fifth player in the draft. So this is based on his size and potential and just what they think they can he can turn into. A lot of combinations and comparisons have been to Draymond Green, a young Draymond Green, maybe more athletic with more potential. You know, in college, he was the ACC player of the year, being as raw as he is. So all these guys are pretty young, have time to develop. And when you have a team like the Orlando Magic, they don't need a guy to come in that's like Chris Duarte, for let's say, who's 24 years old, ready to go, walk in the door right now, be a bucket getter. They are fine with someone that can develop, like, say, Giannis, when he was drafted. He wasn't ready. It took him a couple years, and then you see what he turned into. So this is the lottery ticket that the Magic will be taking, in my opinion, with Scottie Barnes, and seeing that maybe 2 or 3 years down the road, he can become a superstar. So we will see. I think that's a great risk for Orlando because like they do have 2 picks in the top 8, number 5 and number 8. So you can go with a safe guy at 5, a risk guy at 5, you know, a lottery ticket guy at 5, and then a safer guy at 8. But I'll get to them in their second pick in a minute. Now, for the number 6 pick, a similar team to the Orlando Magic, the OKC Thunder. So young, rebuilding, you know, developing team. So that for that reason alone, I have them taking Jonathan Kuminga because Jonathan Kuminga is super raw as well. He is 6'6", 210 pounds from the G League Ignite. Average 16 points, 7 boards, 3 assists. Those stats are a lot better than Scottie Barnes. But, you know, he's still raw. And who knows if he played in college if those stats would be the same. But he only shot 25% from three. You know, that is key in the league these days. If you're just driving to the basket, that's not going to turn into a top six pick. He's going to have to develop that 3-point shot. And when he was at the combine, he was shooting it very, very, very well. But, you know, that's at the combine. Will that translate to games? You know, Jaylen Brown for the Celtics in college, he did not shoot threes well, but he kept developing. And in the NBA, you see what he is now, a great player, and he can do it all. So that's the hope for Jonathan Kuminga. Very athletic, you know, but definitely needs to keep developing and working at his skills. And he has plenty of time to do that in OKC. And yeah, I had him going six before, so I still have him going six now. And same for number seven, Alperen Sengun. I have him going to Golden State, the 6'9" big man from Turkey. I love his game. Super skilled big man. Averaged 19 and 9 in college and 1.5 blocks per game. If his floor is Domantas Sabonis, I love it. I mean, who wouldn't want Domantas Sabonis on their team? He has great touch, very smart and instinctive player, MVP of the Turkish League. The only question is will that translate? And multiple people are saying the Turkish League is one of the top three international leagues. So he should be in great shape. I think Golden State needs a big man that could put some points in the basket. And especially if he can develop into something even more than that, you got to go for it. Some people say they have James Wiseman. They're looking to trade James Wiseman. James Wiseman is a raw, tall, lanky guy. And I don't think he's long for this team. Alperen Sengun would be a much better fit, in my opinion. For the eighth pick in the draft, we have the Orlando Magic back on the board. And I have them taking James Bouknight, just like in my first mock. 6'5", 190 pounds out of UConn, average 19, 6, and 2, and 1 steal per game. Tremendous scorer, safe player. And not safe in the bad sense. Safe as in he's going to be destined to be good to great. He's a great shooter all around, even at the 3-point shot. He has a total package. In college at UConn, they weren't a star-studded team. He was double-teamed a lot, but still couldn't be stopped, you know. So that bodes well for him in the league, because I doubt he will get double teams in the league, you know, especially in Orlando, unless he just turns into an all-star year one, which you never know. Up next is the ninth pick to the Sacramento Kings. I have a change here. I have Moses Moody going to Sacramento, the 6'6", small forward-ish player from Arkansas. You know, positions are so fluid these days. So whatever the team wants you to play, you will play. So, and whatever you're best at. So I think he'll be a small forward, though. But it could be a big shooting guard. Average 17 points, 6 boards, 1.5 assists, 1 steal, and almost a block per game. So he's just an all-around good player. He reminds me of Sadiq Bey. Drafted last year, who was in the top 10 as far as rookies last year. He's a great 3-point shooter, shot 36% from three, has a huge 7-foot wingspan. When you see the picture of a guy stretching from the floor to the top of the door, that was Moses Moody. So, you know, that's what teams are looking for, that wingspan. But he's a good spot-up shooter as well. He's kind of an old-school methodical player, and I think he'll fit perfectly for the Kings. You know, he's safe and has huge potential also with that wingspan, and everyone loves a 3-point shooter. For the 10th pick in the draft, I have the New Orleans Pelicans taking Davion Mitchell, 6'2" guard from Baylor, average 14, 3, 5.5 assists, and 2 steals per game. Those 2 steals are key. You don't really see that often. That's great. And it's not just fluky. He's a hustler, very good defender. So he won Defensive Player of the Year in college. So that's great. And for a 6'2" player, that's rare. So I think he will translate because he works so hard. I've heard people say he's the most professional kid in this draft. And his game is incredible, especially his last year at Baylor. You know, he's fast, has a nice wiggle crossover. He's everywhere on the court. You think it's two of him out there sometimes, and not his almost named guy, Donovan Mitchell, you know, who he looks a lot like out there, in my opinion. Some people say he doesn't look like Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell got to the free throw line a lot. Donovan Mitchell's wingspan is bigger. Okay. He still look like Donovan Mitchell out there. Stop being nitpicky. I think Davion Mitchell is better than the 10th prospect in this league, in my opinion. But I believe he won't fall past this. Even if it's not a perfect fit in New Orleans, there's no way he can fall lower than 10, in my opinion, or someone's going to get a steal. And even New Orleans, they don't really need a point guard slash shooting guard. But you got to, at some point, you got to take the best player on the team. And there's been talk about this pick being traded. So that could go to someone that would need that position even more. Up next is the Charlotte Hornets. I have them taking Kai Jones out of out of Texas. The 6'10 big man averaged 9 points, 5 rebounds, almost an assist a game, almost a steal a game, almost a block a game. But he's a great shot blocker, very instinctive on the court, offensively and defensively. Shoots threes, even some step back threes. Very athletic, great big man that the Hornets definitely need. I mean, everyone knows that if you don't even pay attention to basketball that much, you know the Hornets need a center, and I think he's the best available. If Alperen Sengun falls to 11, and they have the choice between Kai and Alperen Sengun, can't really go wrong with either one, in my opinion. Just whatever you think. Obviously, I have Alperen going 7, so I think he might would be a better fit. But he's more traditional. Kai Jones is more possibly the future, because of how athletic and fast he is and all the things he can do with shooting threes. Alperen Sengun can't shoot threes right now, like, consistently. So, it's a lot of decisions for Charlotte because it's possible that they both could be there, including the next guy who they could consider as well, who I have 12th on my list. That is Jalen Johnson, the 6'9", small forward slash power forward from Duke, average 11, 6, and 2, and 1 steal and 1 block per game. The only knock on him is he played 13 games in college and left Duke. So there's talk that he also left multiple different high schools as well. So that has people scratching their head and wanting to know his mental more than his physical game, you know, because on tape, on film, he looks like a great player to me. He's a good passer, runs the floor well, very athletic, and a good shooter. Shot 44% from 3. That's incredible. Has good size, always seemed to be in the right spot at the right time. So, you know, he was coached up good for those 13 games at Duke. He reminds me of Brandon Clark, good young potential player in Memphis. And I think he'll be a great pick at number 12. Also heard some of the reasons that, a reason that it could have been that he left Duke is he has bad anxiety. So if that's what it is, San Antonio Spurs is probably one of the best places for him to go to because they'll take care of him. You know, Pop can get on you, but he also is one of the best coaches and teachers in this league. And they have a great coaching staff that I believe if he went to anywhere else, like a bad team, he could be in trouble. But I think San Antonio is a safe spot for him. Number 13, the Indiana Pacers. I haven't taken Sharif Cooper. It was a lot of talk about his height at the combine. He's either 6'1 or 6'4. It doesn't really matter to me. He's a great player. Averaged 20 points, 4 boards, 8 assists, and 1 steal per game. And I think he's a perfect fit for the Pacers because TJ McConnell is more than likely out of the door. And they use TJ McConnell a lot, you know, behind Malcolm Brogdon and even with Malcolm Brogdon. And TJ McConnell's main thing is assists. Sharif Cooper averaged 8 assists per game. That's leading the nation in college basketball. He has incredible court vision, great handle, very explosive, plays through contact, also always knows where to go with the ball. His only knock is he's a terrible 3-point shooter. He shot 22% from 3. That might be the worst in the whole draft. I mean, that's pretty terrible. But, you know, obviously he's going to have to work on that. But everything else, you're getting a TJ McConnell replacement with a ton of more potential and upside. You know, he could be a all-star at some point. And, you know, Malcolm Brogdon's not getting any younger, and his name is constantly on the trade block. So Sharif Cooper is the pick, in my opinion. Number 14, Golden State Warriors. Have him taking Keon Johnson out of Tennessee. Stats not great. Shot not great. But everyone loves his athleticism. People have him going as early as 7 to Golden State's first pick. But in my opinion, he's not talented enough to go before 14. He may, but I think if he wasn't projected to go so high, I'd probably have him going lower than this. But he's very raw in my opinion. But with his potential, I think at worst he'll be a Jeremy Lin type player. At best, he could almost reach Zach LaVine levels. But he's got to get his shot right, and his shot is a little slow. He plays a little unorthodox. He's not smooth. This is as if you told me he started playing basketball 2 or 3 years ago, I would believe you. He's just an athletic freak. You know, he broke the record at the combine for his, you know, leaping ability. So can a team get that together, get him on the right track? I don't know. This is a big risk, and I don't know if Golden State will keep this draft pick to take him. But for a young team developing, he would be great. So, but I have him going 14. He's probably the one player I don't feel great about where he's going. I have zero clue. So I just had to keep him in the lottery at 14 because of all the hype around him. Number 15, also another semi-raw guy, but he's more talented than Keon Johnson, in my opinion, is Zaire Williams out of Stanford. Have him going to the Washington Wizards. Average 11, 4.5, 2 assists, 1 steal, and half a block a game. Has a really good handle and size. Mostly shoots the mid-range jumper. Has great size. Loves a step-back J. Very unselfish. Great defender. He'll be good when he gets some size on him. When he went to the combine, they said before he was 6'8". Went to the combine, measured at 6'10". So that only increases his draft stock because he was projected to go in the 20s. And I think I have him moved up to 15. He could easily go 14 to Golden State as well. But he has scary potential and could easily be the steal of the draft. Keep an eye out on him. For the 16th pick, I have OKC taking Corey Kispert. Early in the draft, I had him taking Jonathan Kuminga, raw experimental player. With this one, I have him going a little safer. Corey Kispert, 6'7", 220 from Gonzaga, average 18.5 points, 5 boards, 2 assists, and 1 steal per game. It was the West Coast Conference Player of the Year. Shot 44% from 3. This guy is the best shooter in the draft. He can light it up. He shot the ball brilliantly, but still he could take it to the rack. His game fits tremendously in today's NBA. My comparison to him, don't lose your minds, is Jimmer Fredette. That might sound like, oh no, he's terrible, he's a bust. But Jimmer Fredette in college was incredible, unstoppable, like Steph Curry now in college. Steph Curry on Golden State, put him in college, that was Jimmer Fredette. But he is 5 inches taller than Jimmer Fredette and better at going to the rack. So I think he will translate a hell of a lot better than Jimmer Fredette did. And there's a strong possibility he'll have a great career. And I think he'll outperform this draft spot that he's selected in. He'd also be he'd be a good fit for Golden State. But how much shooting does one team need? I don't know with Klay Thompson coming back. Number 17, I have Memphis Grizzlies taking Franz Wagner. In my opinion, he could easily go lower than this. A lot of teams have him going to top 10. I don't see that. But, you know, he played very well at Michigan. Averaged 12, 6, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block per game. To me, he's a good hustle player. I think he'll be a really good role player in the league. Gives good effort. Shot 34% from 3. And, you know, that's pretty much all I can say. I think he'll have a long career. I don't think he'll be an all-star. I don't think he'll be a bust. He'll just kind of be there. You know, maybe like Doug McDermott. You don't really care about Doug McDermott, but he's important to the team, you know? So, congrats, Memphis. But number 18, I have OKC back on the clock for the third time. Taking Josh Giddey, the 6'8 point guard out of Australia. Average 11, 7-7 per game. Very creative, flashy passer. And he can drive it and dunk on you, too. You know, that's rare for international players. But in my opinion, he could be a little too slow for the league. And you have to worry about the level of competition he played at in Australia. But his outcome is he could be a star or a bust. I don't think he'll just be in between. So that'll be interesting to see. It's a lot of debate on Josh Giddey. I'm not sure. Number 19, I have the Knicks on the clock. I haven't taken Chris Duarte, 6'6", shooting guard slash small forward out of Oregon. He's one of the most talented players in the draft, in my opinion. He's as talented as Book Knight. Well, right under Book Knight, probably. Average 17 points a game, 4.6 boards, 3 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. Won the Jerry West Award, first team All Pac-12, first team All Pac-12 defense, shot 42% from 3, all that. You was like, why is he number 19? It's only because of his age. He's 24 years old. If he was 21, he'll be a lottery pick for sure, possibly top 10. But he has a beautiful shot, can drive it to the rack very well. Just an overall very skilled player. He reminds me a little bit of Klay Thompson, a little Chris Middleton, maybe a little Dylan Brooks at worst, but if you're picking him in this range, it's a tremendous pick. And we all know that New York loves older players. Tom Thibodeau, he loves the old guys. But, you know, he's 24. So, I mean, don't get too carried away. Make the pick. He's deserving of that 19th spot. For the 20th pick, this is where it gets tricky for me. It's a lot of point guards and small guards coming up. And they're all kind of in that same vein. So it really just depends on which one the team prefers. At 20, I have the Atlanta Hawks taking Cameron Thomas. Right now, he's just the most talented player on the board for me. Atlanta has a number of different ways they could go. They really don't need anyone position-wise. Unless John Collins doesn't come back, they could be looking for a power forward. But to me, I think they need a better backup for Trey. When Trey comes out of the game, you don't want to have that huge drop off. So Cam Thomas is, I think he can start in the league after about a year or two. So to have him as your backup, I think that's great. 6'4", 210 out of LSU. All SEC. He's a super confident guy. Very scrappy. Takes a lot of contested shots. He loves jumpers and three-pointers. To me, he's similar to Kyle Lowry. But basically, picture Kyle Lowry as a selfish player that is trying to, you know, be in Mamba mode all the time. So I like Cameron Thomas, though. So he won't be like that in the NBA, I'll tell you that, because coaching will coach that right out of him. Unless they want it, you know, you never know. It depends on what team he goes to, really. For the 21st pick in the draft, the Knicks, I have them selecting Trey Mann, 6'5 point guard from Florida, average 16. 5'3 and 1.4 steals per game. Has a good floater, nice handle, shoots 40% from 3. In my opinion, he can be DeJounte Murray in a few years with development. He plays very smooth, never looks rushed out there, and is a really good shooter. At this point, New York, they probably need I don't know. They have a good person at every position as well. For them to have pick 19 and 21, I don't know if they would want two rookies to come in, because they probably want a veteran. So look for one of these picks to get traded. But if not, you have to take the best guy on the board. Even though you drafted Emmanuel Quickley last year, Trey Mann is the best guy on the board. And if not, I mean, it's a lot of other point guards and shooting guards, which you don't need, really. So to replace Frank Ntilikina, Derrick Rose eventually, Elfrid Payton, you can get you either a backup point guard to Quickley, or he can be that starting guard and Quickley can be the backup. So I think that's a good pick with Trey Mann to the Knicks. Up next, the 22nd pick in the draft, I have the Lakers taking Ayo Dosunmu, 6'5", 200 pounds out of Illinois, average 26-6 and 1 steal per game, 34% from 3, won the Bob Cousy Award, very nice handle, can drive to the hoop. He's one of my favorite players in this draft, one of the best guards in the country. He reminds me of Colin Sexton a little bit, but he's obviously a lot taller than Colin Sexton, which bodes well for him. And he could be a Buddy Hield type, but he's just a really good player. He had 2 triple-doubles in college, and that's 8 minutes less per game in college. So imagine if that was in the NBA and he was in the zone like that. So I think he's well worth the 22nd spot in the draft. 23, I have the Rockets back on the clock again. It is their second pick, yes, because they had the second pick in the draft. So I have them taking Josh Christopher, 6'5 guard out of Arizona State, average 14.5, 1 assist, 1.5 steals. He's a very fluid player, has a great shot and handle, performed great at the combine, very shifty, has a nice floater. All around, I think he'll just be a really good, solid NBA player. may never be an all-star, but talented player, very talented player. And he has a 6'9 wingspan, so people love that. And for number 24, like I said, solid safe player with Josh Christopher. Number 24, I think they're going to go raw potential talent with JT Thor here. Because like I said, the Rockets are back on the clock. They have the back-to-back picks. Now, with their second pick, I had them taking Jalen Suggs. If they actually take Evan Mobley, they probably will not take JT Thor. But if they go my route and take Jalen Suggs, JT Thor is a potential guy as well as Evan Mobley. He could easily be as good as Evan Mobley, and you're getting him 22 spots lower. So I think this will be the jackpot for the Rockets if they get Suggs and Josh Christopher and JT Thor. You will have a whole new, super young nucleus and very talented team. JT Thor is rising tremendously in this draft. A lot of people still have him going later in the first or even still in the second. But to me, watching this tape, he pops on screen. He's a lefty, great defensive instincts. Long and skinny, can bring the ball up the court, drive it to the rack. Shot 30% from three. You want that number improved, but he's still so raw out there. You see all the potential and athleticism. Sometimes you see him going to the rack and you squint your eyes like, whoa, was that Kevin Garnett? No, that's JT Thor. He's just a freak athlete. And I think, like I said, 6'10". This is a guy that's well worth the risk for Houston, and they have the time to develop him. And he was not in my mock 1.0, so he moved on up. Number 25, Charles Bassey. I have him going to the Clippers. Big man out of Western Kentucky, 6'11", averaged 17.6 points, 11.6 boards, and 3 blocks per game. You gotta love that three blocks per game. He dominated the paint on both ends. Really good post player, great shot blocker, runs the court very well. Can shoot threes. You know, and people say if this was 10, 15 years ago, he'd be a top 5 pick because everyone loved the center back then. But now, not so much. But the Clippers are desperately in need of a center. Ivica Zubac should be a backup in this league. DeMarcus Cousins, not really sure he's going to get back to being a starting center in his career. Unfortunately, so many injuries. So the Clippers need to either sign a center in free agency or draft Charles Bassey if he falls to them, in my opinion. Number 26, I have the Nuggets taking Nayshon Bones Highland. Did not have him in my first round and my first mock as well. Steady rising up the draft boards. 6'3", 175 pounds from VCU. Averaged 19.5 points per game, 4.5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals per game. He could be the Emmanuel Quickley of this year's draft. No one thought he would be great. Came in and had a very top 10 rookie potential year. He shot 40% from 3. That's what this guy is all about, Bones Highland. He can shoot it from super long range as well. He's not really a passer at all, but he's there if you want him to shoot some threes. He never really needed to be a passer. He was the A-10 player of the year, and I think he will fit great with the Nuggets. They need some extra shooting and scoring because some of their guards are getting older. And I think he'll be a great fit. Give him a little bit of offensive punch. Number 27, I have the Brooklyn Nets still selecting Roko Prokasin. Really like his game. 6'9", big man from Croatia. Averaged 13.7 per game. Shot 50% from the field. My first impression of him is, and it will be of yours too, if you click on the tape and watch his highlights, he's just dunking on everybody. He's just dunking on everybody, and he loves every second of it. And you don't really see that from players that are international. Very physical. Great passer, can shoot the three, even has a step back jumper, has a total offensive package for today's game. And, you know, I think if you want to compare him to someone, he could be Al Horford-like, but just more aggressive. And so don't think about Al Horford now at 35 years old. Think about Al Horford when he was with the Hawks back in the day, making an all-star team. So I think Roko Prokasin has a high ceiling, and it would be a great fit for Brooklyn at 27 because they have Blake Griffin playing power forward right now. I don't know how much longer that's going to last, you know. So, there you go. For number 28, the Philadelphia 76ers are on the clock. I have another guy that was not in my mock 1.0. So, you see the drastic changes from the combine, you know, interviews, 5-on-5, We have a few differences here. Jason Preston. Have you heard that name before? It's like, this sounds familiar. He was a standout in college. He played at Ohio. Has one of the most interesting stories in the college. He hardly got any offers to go to college. Ohio was one of the few that gave him an offer, and he balled out. He averaged 16, 7, and 7 per game, and 1.5 steals. Made the All-MAC team twice, and was the MAC MVP. When you're watching this tape, you see a little Steph Curry out there. You see a little Trae Young out there, a little LaMelo Ball. So whenever you see that's gonna get your attention. But he looks small. He looks like a kid out there with his frame, his size, his height. But he's actually 6'4". He looks when you're watching him, it looks 6'1" out there or 6'2" because he's so skinny. But he's actually not short at all. He's ideal size. So he shoots about 40% from three, which is great. Has a great touch. When he likes to drive and post up. That's not gonna work in this league at 187 pounds, but he's gonna get some bulk on him and he'll be fine, I believe. He's a great passer, even a little flashy at times, has great court vision. People don't like that he had three turnovers per game, but playing at Ohio is gonna be different than playing in a league with more talent around you. And three turnovers is not that bad, really. It's like people are being nitpicky. He's not very fast. Speed would help his game a little bit in the league, but it's not necessary. And going to Philly, I think, would be a perfect fit if they're considering keeping Ben Simmons and maybe moving him to a different position. They really need to upgrade that point guard. And I think Jason Preston, if in any way he can be anywhere near close to Steph Curry, Trae Young, and LaMelo Ball, this is a steal, And I expect to hear more about his name in the coming weeks because I think he should be moving up, honestly, a lot more than this. So, but we'll have to keep an eye on him. That's Jason Preston, one of my favorites now in this draft. Number 29, I have Phoenix Suns taking David Duke. I think they could use a backup point guard if they don't keep Cameron Payne. And Cameron Payne is not been a reliable player until these playoffs. He's been balling out of control. So, Chris Paul is not getting any younger. He's about to be, I believe, 37 next year. And David Duke could use a year to sit behind Chris Paul anyway and develop to become even more professional and just a better all-around player. He's 6'5", 200 pounds out of Providence. I loved his film. Every bit of it, average 17 points, 6 boards, 5 assists, and 1 steal per game. Shot almost 40% from three. I just love his all-around game. Great shooter, great passer. I think he would absolutely flourish in today's NBA. And to be a backup, that's a steal. I think he could be a starter. Just let him develop correctly. And who better to develop behind than Chris Paul? I think he's one of the most natural point guards in this draft. And it looks like he was born to play point guard, in my opinion. I just think he's well worth that 29th spot. And a lot of people have him projected to go in the second round. He was not in my mock draft 1.0, but I just think it's necessary. And two guys dropped out of my first round. I'll go ahead and mention Johnny Juzang and Max Abmas. I had them in my first round. And they decided to go back to college because all the information they were hearing from there are people where they may go second round, and it's highly likely they'll go second round. And obviously, you don't really want to do that because you're not guaranteed as much being a second rounder as a first rounder. So that helped move up David Duke, in my opinion, helped move up Jason Preston, in my opinion, especially. And the next guy, also who's not in my mock draft, for the last pick in the NBA 2021 draft. The Utah Jazz are on the clock, and I have them selecting Isaiah Todd, the 6'10 big man from the G League Ignite. Averaged 12 points per game, 5 boards, 1 assist, almost 1 block. He has a good turnaround J near the paint, can shoot the jumper very well, very confident shooter, even shoots threes, and he was just shooting one-legged jumpers. He's just showing all the skills and range out there, just playing around in the G League probably. But he has very good potential in my opinion, and I think he's well worth it, well worth the risk at number 30. Utah, I believe, is in desperate need for a power forward, I believe, and I think he would help them out. And he has the same potential, in my opinion, as Evan Mobley. If he went to college, his name would probably be more out there as a guy that should be taken higher in this draft. So, in my opinion, I think it's a steal. They just have to keep an eye on him. Hopefully, he'll keep developing. And I think that Utah could have a steal right here at 30 and a great pick, a guy that could help them win instantly, or they could sit a year or so, like their pick last year, and see how he develops. But right now, I considered them taking a point guard like David Duke or someone like that. If a highly talented point guard falls in the draft, I can see them taking that route, and I can see them taking a power forward. So right now, with the way my mock is going, all the point guards are gone that are worth this spot. So I think Isaiah Todd would be a good risk and good spot for them to choose. That is my mock draft 2.0. I hope you enjoyed it. If you hate it, I would love to hear, what did I get wrong? What did I get right? It's not a consensus mock draft, so it's going to be some guys in there that you never heard of. So just do your research. And like I said, Johnny Juzang is not in the list because he went back to college. Same for Max Abmas. I had Isaiah Jackson at 29. He moved out of the first round. Trey Murphy at number 30 moved out of the first round. So, you know, it switched up a little bit on you guys. So I hope you like it. And I'll have it posted on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at WilliamIsBill to see it in print. I thank you all for joining me. Make sure you like, subscribe, 5-star rate the podcast. I appreciate all you guys' support. And, you know, I love doing this for you guys, so I hope you enjoyed the mock draft 2.0, and you will not see 6 of these things, just 2. No, maybe 3 or 4. So, you know, stick with me and enjoy the draft. I can't wait for it to come. Love you guys. Do I love you guys? I don't know, maybe. But anyway, I'll see you next time. It's late. Have a good one, guys. Peace.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.